Good morning. How are you? Who has a song that they'd like to start with this morning? Number 14. Number 14. Have you been to question, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We're going to talk a little bit later about the blood of some lambs. And it's important to know, boys and girls, that we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, we have been born into this world, and I see everybody here, they have freshly scrubbed faces. I wonder if your mom did to you what my mom used to do to me. Just before we walked out the door, she'd look at our faces and you know, if we had a smudge on our face, maybe a little bit of jam in the corner of our mouth, she'd take a Kleenex and wet it and just scrub that little spot. Make sure our faces were nice and scrubbed and bright. And, you know, once in a while there was no water around, so she'd moisten the tissue with her tongue and then scrub her faces. We didn't like that too well, but she wanted us to look freshly scrubbed and clean. But you know, and that's nice. We like to see boys and girls with clean faces. But God is looking a little bit deeper. He's looking down into our hearts, and He wants to see a clean heart. And we'll look at a verse a little bit later that has to do with a clean heart. Anybody else have a song that they'd like to sing? Okay. Josh? Number 7. Josh wants to sing number 7. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost He offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Love brings the glorious fullness in, and to the lost makes known salvation from the power of sin through faith in Christ alone. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Ye now by faith I claim Him mine, the risen Son of God. Redemption by His death I find, and cleansing through the blood. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Well, there we have again, in the third verse, it talks about and cleansing through the blood. You know, that must be a kind of an important theme in Scripture. It talks about the cleansing by the blood. You know, if you read through the Old Testament, the Israelites, when they were going through the big wilderness, and any time that they sinned, they had to bring a blood, a sacrifice to God, and that animal that they brought, its blood had to be shed. The Bible talks about without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's no way to get rid of those sins unless blood is shed. And what happens when an animal's blood is shed? What happens to the animal? What happens to the animal? It will die. Why? Why does an animal die when its blood is shed? Its blood is its life. You know, that's exactly right. There's a verse in the Bible that says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God says, I have given it to you upon the altar for the shedding of your for the remission of sins. God, every time that somebody sinned in the Bible, there had to be blood shed. And every time that we sin, there had to be a sacrifice. Blood had to be shed. And so that's something to think about. You know, there's consequences for everything that we do. Every time we sin, we should think about that blood has to be shed. You know, back in the Garden of Eden, We talk about our first parents, Adam and Eve. They were in the Garden of Eden, and what happened there? What happened in the Garden of Eden? Yeah. Exactly. They sinned. They ate from the tree of which the Lord told them not to. You know, every time we do something that's our own will, that's sin. It says in Scripture that the plowing of the wicked is sin. And I know there are farmers in this room that when they go out in the morning and they fire up their tractor and they drive out to the field, they're just doing their job. They're just doing what they need to live in this world. You know, we're supposed to work with our hands and provide things honest in the sight of all men. We're supposed to work. But you know, God says that the plowing of the wicked is sin, because he doesn't think about God, and he's not plowing those fields for the glory of God. He's doing it for himself and in his self-will. And so every time that we do something apart from God, we're sinning. Something to think about. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the point, boys and girls. Our hearts are black with sin. Who has another song they'd like to sing? 47?
When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own, like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for his crown. He will gather the gems for his kingdom, all the pure ones, all the bright ones, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for his crown. Little children, who love their Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for his crown.
Another point that's important here is that the Lord Jesus is coming. It says when he cometh to make up his jewels. All his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. So the Lord Jesus is coming again. And you know, this relates back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier about being ready to go, being qualified to go to heaven. There, we sing a song that goes like this: how many children say, "I'd like to go to heaven," yet never think that they must have their sins forgiven before they can in glory be, or Jesus Christ in glory see. And so we need our sins forgiven before we're one of His jewels, because we can't be in the presence of God with sin on us. There's no way that we can be in the presence of God with sin on us. All that, I'd like to read just a quick verse, and that's found in Psalms, the book of the Psalms. Psalms chapter 24. And verse 3, it goes like this: who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? How many children say that they'd like to go to heaven? You know, where God is, that's where heaven is. And where God is, that's a holy place. You know, God hates sin. God hates sin. And each one of us have sin. Each one of us have the stain of sin on our hearts. Well, here's the answer. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Oh my, that shuts me out. That shuts me out. You know, I washed my hands this morning, but that's not what it's talking about. He that hath clean hands. Have you ever done anything wrong with your hands? Have you ever sinned with your hands? If you have, then you don't have clean hands. How about a pure heart? Have you ever thought of anything in your heart that's wrong? Those are searching questions. What are we going to do about that? Somebody else have a song they'd like to sing? Over here. That was 46. Okay. That's good.
Glad T-I-D-I-N-G-S, I-B-R-I-N-G, that J-E-S-U-S has come to save me. And He calls, and He calls, all the G-I-R-L-S, and He wants all the B-O-I-S to T-R-U-S-T in Him, and have all their sins now washed away.
Oh, here we find that even though we have sinned, we have the stain of sin on our hearts. And God says, and it says in the Bible, who shall stand in God's holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And that disqualifies all of us in this room. Yet we sing that there are good good tidings, glad tidings, because Jesus has come and He wants to save me. He wants to save me from my life of sin. He wants to save me from the sins that I'm guilty of. And He wants He's calling all the girls, and He wants all the boys too. That means that every one of us in this room is included. We're either a girl or a boy in this room, and so we're all included. And He wants us to trust in Him and have all our sins washed away. Wow, that's something. You know, we need our sins washed away before we can stand. That's the answer to the question. We need our sins washed away before we can stand in God's holy place. Well, let's just look to the Lord Jesus this morning, ask His blessing on the meeting, and ask for His help. Just turn back to that verse in Psalms 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. You know, we children, we have all sinned. I think that's pretty clear. And the penalty for sin is condemnation. You know, several years ago, when I was in school, in college, we went on a trip together, a group of students and the professor, and we were going to study the effects of some parasites on sheep. And it was part of an experiment. And what the professor had done was to take some parasite eggs and give them to sheep. And now a parasite is a worm. And worms, in some areas, worms live in animals, and they need they're detrimental to the health of the animal. That means they affect the health of the animal and make it sick. And so what we were going to do was look at the effects of these worms on these animals. And so we went to a slaughterhouse. Now, who knows what a slaughterhouse is? Okay, what's a slaughterhouse?
Lots of animals or at a time.
That's where they kill lots of animals?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Why would they kill animals in a slaughterhouse?
Well, either for food or else they might spread a disease.
Right, for food is primarily what I was thinking of. You know that chicken that we ate yesterday? At one time was a fluffy little yellow chick. And that fluffy little yellow chick grew up and it had to die. And the hamburgers that we eat at one time were little calves that lived on a farm somewhere, and those calves grew up and they had to die. And if you've ever eaten lamb, that little lamb that you ate at one time was a little gamboling lamb that lived on a farm somewhere. That's quite a picture in itself, isn't it? We eat animals that at one time lived. We don't just go to the grocery store, to Safeway or some grocery store like that, and get our food. That food has to come from an animal that has to die. You know, that's really something. While we're living on this earth, there's a lot of things that have to die for us. Animals have to die so that we might eat. And the Lord Jesus had to die so that we might live. The Lord Jesus had to die so that we might have our sins washed away. Anyway, back to the story. We went to the slaughterhouse, and these sheep came in that had been infected with the parasite, and they came onto the slaughterhouse floor. Brother Ken Amsler back there, I think he used to work in a slaughterhouse, so he knows what I'm talking about. And those sheep, they died on that slaughterhouse floor. And when they died, then they were cut open and their blood was shed on the floor. And that was quite a sight. And then those sheep were cut up and what we were interested in was their liver, because that's where this particular parasite spends its life, in the animal. And so there was a man that stood there, and he was dressed all in white, and it was quite an impressive sight. He was an older man, he had white hair, and he was dressed in white. And as the sheep entrails came by him, the heart came by him on a moving table, and the intestines and the lungs, and then the liver came by, and he looked at all those parts of the sheep as they came by him on the moving table. He inspected those parts, and when the liver came by, he saw right away that those animals had been infected, and it was obvious to him. And so he took out a stamp, and he dipped the stamp in ink, and then he stamped all over those livers words that I'll never forget. And the words were, USDA inspected and condemned. That stood for United States Department of Agriculture, inspected and condemned. And you know, boys and girls, I thought about that when I saw that. We have stood before God, and He has inspected us, and we're condemned. Condemned. What happens to people who are condemned? Can we stand in God's holy place? There's no way that we can stand before God. Condemned. What's the livers that were condemned? They went into a tank and they were going to be discarded of. What happens to boys and girls and men and women that have been condemned? They go to hell. That's not a pretty picture, is it? I'd like you to ask yourself, do I have sins on my heart, in my heart? Do I have a pure heart? Do I have clean hands? Or have I sinned? Have I told a lie? You know, let's read about some people who sinned. Let's go over to Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21 and verse 4. And this is talking about the children of Israel as they're traveling through the wilderness. And it says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt?" Now, that doesn't seem like such a bad thing. The soul of the people was discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged? You know, I'd kind of like to know. You don't have to raise your hands, but just think. And it'd be interesting to know how many children in this room, as they were coming to this meeting, said to their dad and mom, "How much further is it before we get there? How much further is it before we get there? How much longer?" You know, that was said a few times in our car on the way down. "How much longer?" 3 hours. "Well, that's what you said just a little bit ago." Well, that's how much longer. See, the people were discouraged because of the way. And we don't think of those things as sin, really, because it's not real bad. At least we don't think so. "So the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." They were complaining. How many of you have complained? Don't need to raise your hands, but just think in your heart, have I ever complained about anything? You know, that's a sin. All these things just serve to condemn us, children. I've sinned. I've told a lie. I've complained. I've sinned. And if what I read in the Bible is right, then I can't be in God's presence. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned.'" They realized what they had done. "For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.'" You know, God always provides a way of escape. That's the nature of our God. God loves us, and He has provided a way of escape for us. And so these people had sinned against God. They had complained. And God, to make them realize that they had sinned, He sent fiery serpents among the people. And those serpents bit the people and they were starting to die. And they said, Moses, pray to God for us. You know, there are people who pray for you, children. Your parents pray for you. And we would like to see you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And there is a way of escape from our sins. We were singing earlier about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, how His blood was shed. And so God told Moses, He said, now you take some brass and you make a fiery serpent and you put it on a pole and you put it up so that anybody who looks at that pole, at that serpent, they'll live. Now, just think about those boys and girls back then. Perhaps one of those boys had gotten bitten, or one of those girls had gotten bitten by a fiery serpent. And the reason they were called fiery serpents is, if you've ever been stung by a bee, you know that sting feels fiery, doesn't it? It hurts. And those boys and girls that had been bitten, that felt like fire had gotten a hold of them. Suppose that Moses had made the fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and those boys and girls hadn't looked. What would happen to them? What would happen? They would die. Now, the provision was there. God had told Moses, now if you take and make that fiery serpent, so the fiery serpent on a pole was provided for them. The provision was there so that if they looked, they would live. God always makes it simple for us. Always makes it simple for us. He goes the extra mile, as we say. He always makes it simple for us. All we have to do is look. And so the provision is there. Whose fault would it be if that boy or that girl didn't look? Whose fault would it be if they didn't look and they died? Whose fault would it be? Theirs. Exactly right. The provision is there. God made that serpent, God provided that serpent for them so that they could look and live. And so if they didn't look and live, the fault was theirs. And God has provided His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary's cross. And that blood is available to wash your sins away and to wash my sins away. And so if we go to hell, whose fault is it? Whose fault?
Ours.
It's our fault, exactly. The provision has been made, and everything's ready for us if we want to stand, be in that holy place where God is. We need clean hands and a pure heart. The provision has been made. And so what did those people have to do? All they had to do was look at the serpent. What do we have to do? All we have to do is ask the Lord Jesus to wash our sins away. God makes it simple. Very, very simple. Just a look to the Savior saves. You know, the thief that was on the cross, that's what he did. He was dying there, and it was because of his own sin. He had committed murder in an insurrection. An insurrection means a rebellion. he had committed murder. He was a pretty bad sinner by our standards. You know, some of the children here aren't very bad sinners by our standards. But that man was a bad sinner. But regardless, we all need our sins washed away. Whether we're little children and we don't have a long record of sins, or whether we have committed murder in the rebellion against the government, there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we need a remedy. And for that thief on the cross, the remedy was to look to the Lord Jesus Christ that was crucified right next to him. And what did he say? What did he say to the Lord Jesus? He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He had a change of heart, didn't he? And he asked the Lord Jesus to wash his sins away. And the Lord Jesus said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." And so that man that committed murder, he's with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. He's in the holy place. And that is where we can go too, if we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to wash our sins away. He's standing ready and willing and able, and he wants you to come to him. He loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, shouldn't be condemned to go to hell. God has inspected you and condemned you unless you're under the shelter of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A pure heart. Do you have a pure heart? There's no way you have a pure heart unless that heart of yours has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you taken that blood? It's available for you. You know, we can't see physical blood. The blood was shed 2,000 years ago, but it's available for us. All we have to do is just ask the Lord Jesus to save us from our sins. You know, there's a man that lives in St. Mary's, Idaho, and he told me one time, his name is Mr. Philip Roche, and Mr. Philip Roche loves to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ to anybody who will listen. And in the area of Idaho that he lives, he's called the preacher. And Mr. Philip Roche said, "You know, you just need to ask people if they'd like to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, because sometimes they hear the gospel and they think about it, but they don't make a decision. They don't make a decision to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, to wash their sins away." And so he said, why don't you ask people if they would like to be saved, if they would like to go to heaven. And so this morning, children and older ones, I'm asking you, would you like to be saved? Would you like to have clean hands and a pure heart? Would you like to go to heaven with the rest of us? You know, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing very near. Just about time for him to come and take all the saved ones back to heaven. Would you like to go with us? So this morning I'm asking you, would you like to go? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? Would you like to? Just ask him into your heart. Right now in your seat, you can bow your head and say, "Lord Jesus, I'd like to go to heaven. I'd like to have my sins washed away. Please save me. And he'll do it. He stands ready and waiting. At the heart's door, the Savior's knocking. At the heart's door, locked in sin. Open the door and let him in. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus,